204, accept report on the state of the arts from the Regional Arts and Culture Council.
Commissioner Fish.
Thank you, Mayor. And first, let me apologize. My son has been under the weather for a week, and he gave me his froggy throat. So we'll soldier on. But Mayor and colleagues, today is one of my favorite days. It's the annual chance we have to hear from our partner at the Regional Arts and Council, Regional Arts and Culture Council, the state of the arts. And today we have an all-star lineup here to share with us the good news, the accomplishments of the past year, and to set our course for the future. And I'd like to introduce our first three guests to come forward. First is Executive Director Eloise Damrosch. Second is RAC Board Chair Jan Robertson. And third is Executive Assistant Johanna Kim. They will lead us through the presentation, and then we'll have some time for some comments afterwards. Eloise.
Thank you, Mayor Hales and Commissioners. It's a real pleasure to present and celebrate the State of the Arts in Portland. This is a favorite event each year for Eloise, so she loves to drag lots of the board members along to share the experience and the celebration. As the years have passed, it's become a favorite event for me as well. I want to thank all of our friends who showed up here to add their thanks to you and to demonstrate that the arts are alive and well in our wonderful city. And I want to acknowledge the fabulous RAC board and staff, many of whom are here with us today. This is a special year for RAC, and specifically the Percent for Art program. RAC turns 20, having transitioned from the Metropolitan Arts Commission to the Regional Arts and Culture Council in 1995. The Percent for Art program turns 35, so many years of commissioning artworks for public spaces all over Portland and creating daily artful experiences for all Portlanders. The Visual Chronicle of Portland collection is 30, and our copper goddess, that would be Portlandia, celebrates her big 3-0 in October. No doubt we'll sing to her then.
Good morning, Mayor Hales, Commissioners. I'd like to add my thanks for the chance to be here with you. As Jan said, this is a favorite day for me as well. Every year we talk about and show you how we have shepherded your considerable investments in RAC. We have sent you our 2014 annual report, which has all the numbers, drafts, and stats, and other pertinent details. So we hope you'll spend some time with that, but today we have a slightly different program for you. And taking a cue from Mayor Hales, who started his State of the City address with a song, he's a lot braver than I am, today we will talk less and show more. More music, visual art, inspiring outreach and equity initiatives, the spoken word, a veritable tapestry of creativity and talent from many corners of our community. Thanks to the Arts Education and Access Fund, on top of continued support from the City of Portland's General Fund and Work for Art, we are making great strides in the size and number of grants that we are able to award to artists, nonprofit organizations, and schools that add tremendous value to our community and our lives. For example, the Portland Opera, 50 years strong this year, is an organization that serves over 163,000 people annually in their performances at the Keller and over 33,000 more in classrooms throughout the state of Oregon and Southwest Washington. Just last month, they received their share of the proceeds from the AEAF at $193,000, which brings them to 3.8% public funding, many steps closer to the AEAF's goal of 5%, 5% public funding for all of our most established arts organizations. Director Christopher Matigliano, who's here today, tells me that these additional funds will enable them to continue multicultural aspects of their opera offerings, including the highly successful Spanish-English hour-long production of The Barber of Seville, currently touring schools through the Portland Opera To Go or POGO program.
Oh,
señor, señor, cara vez le solá. Mi ley moreno, el beso pobre, por decir y sole colá. Ce jour de fête, messieurs des plats du haut en bas. Les femmes,
Louise, I dare you to try to top that.
I was just going to say, do I have to talk? Thank you, Portland Opera. That was fabulous. If everybody isn't awake by now, you should be. So another place that we are investing, thanks to the AEAF, is organizations that are bringing arts experiences to communities of color, persons with disabilities, East Portlanders, and other underserved populations in our city. Last year, we invested in 10 organizations, including the Cascade AIDS Project, which used the arts to raise HIV awareness among gay Latino youth. I'd like to now invite Edgar Mendez from CAP to tell us more about that project. Edgar.
Good morning, Mayor Hales and the commissioners. I'd like to begin by thanking the Regional Arts and Culture Council for the opportunity to participate in this initiative. My name is Edgar Mendez. I represent the Cascade AIDS Project for the purpose of our collaboration with the Regional Arts and Culture Council, and I will be speaking to the impact of the expanding cultural access grant to our services in 2014. The program I represent exists to serve and prevent new HIV infections among ethnic and sexual minority youth. Thanks to RAC, we were able to increase the reach and scale of one of our most significant and successful annual events, known as Concientízate, a celebration of Latino art, music, and culture centered around National Latino AIDS Awareness Day. Concientízate has been hosted by the Cascade AIDS Project for over 5 years now. Latinos and Hispanics like me represent approximately 16% of the population, but around 21% of new HIV infections each year. These new infections are particularly concentrated among young people and people underserved by traditional health services. One of the core values of the program that I represent is that it's not enough for a service to technically exist. It has to be embedded in the social and cultural reality of the people it intends to serve. Concientízate is an example of these values. By bringing together respected musicians, artists, and performers in the same space as rapid, confidential HIV testing, we were able to break down some of those barriers that separate and stigmatize HIV and instead incorporate that as part of the activities that we engage in as a community and as families. By the end of the night, we had delivered culturally competent, destigmatizing education to over 200 attendees and delivered over 20 HIV statuses, primarily to people who had never been tested before. these initiatives, like Conscientiste, not only break down the barriers between particular populations who are underserved by these health services, but also challenge the stigmas that I spoke about earlier. Deep community partnerships and relevant featured performers encouraged us and allowed us to believe that this event would be a success. Support from RAC early in this process allowed us to be in a position to solicit those donations and those support that made our community partners confident that this event would have an impact and that this program would be successful in delivering those HIV prevention services. So for that, I want to say thank you to the Regional Arts and Culture Council and thank you to the City of Portland.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Edgar. We are currently accepting proposals for a new round of expanding cultural access grants, and we invite anyone who's using the arts to reach underserved communities to apply by the March 5th deadline. There's lots of information on our website, and our grant staff are happy to help with any kind of technical assistance. I'm also happy to report that applications are way up, so we're getting the word out to more people. We also support dozens of artistic projects every year through our Project Grants program, which Mayor Hales and Portland City Council so generously restored funding for this past year, having been seriously cut in the recent past. Our project grants helped bring all of us wonderful performances, exhibits, and a wide range of cultural experiences. A little later, you'll hear from one amazing artist, Dana Lynn Lewis, about what she was able to accomplish with a modest $6,000 project grant from RAC this past year. Dana, by the way, is also the artist who created the installation right here in the City Hall atrium that was originally installed in honor of Vera Katz. And speaking of small grants making big differences, we can't forget Portland's own Cheryl Strayed and her fabulous success with Wild. RAC awarded her four modest grants in years past, which we like to imagine gave her small boosts toward the bright future where she is today. Jan shared with you the list of anniversaries we're celebrating in 2015, most of which are within our public art program. Portland's ever-growing public art collection includes a wide range of accessible artworks that RAC cares for on behalf of all Portlanders, and that's a responsibility we take really seriously. We commission and purchase work for public spaces such as city buildings, parks, and streets. And speaking of streets, I'm now happy to introduce Crystal Schenck, who together with her partner Shelby Davis contributed to the recent transformation of Division Street. Crystal?
Good morning. So my husband and collaborator Shelby Davis couldn't be here this morning, but we recently completed our first public art commission right here in Portland, and we're very excited to share it with our hometown and the citizens here. So I just want to tell you a little bit about the project and what was really important as we were developing it. So in listening to RAC, the design group, and the Division Street residents talk about the project and the feeling that they wanted to invoke, one aspect stood out very clearly, and this was the desire to have artwork that creates a sense of continuity and community along the entire length of the street. And artwork that was episodic in nature seemed to have the biggest potential for making a big impact along the entire streetscape project. So the projects we created are linked together by narrative, theme, and materials. You might have seen them. They're small figurative works on larger stone boulders in eight locations from 11th to 39th on Division. We wanted to make work that can be enjoyed in a passing manner, but also have rewarding details for the people who stop to take time to investigate. With all the new commerce and residential development that's sprung up on Division, you might have noticed how much it's changed over the last 3 years. We thought it was really important to encourage people to travel the street on foot and not just by car. So the sculptures become an invitation not just to discover the next piece in the series, but also to explore Division Street and all that it has to offer. While researching the subject matter for the project, we spent a lot of time getting to know the local community, walking up and down Division Streets throughout the neighborhood, going to yearly street fairs, talking to residents and the long-term shop owners, learning a lot of the history of the area. Everyday scenes we encountered sparked the ideas for the characters that we sculpted, and while none of them are specific portraits, many of them capture the persona of some of the wonderful people that we met through our explorations. In placing the sculptures, we worked closely with BES and PBOT, making sure that the stones did not interrupt any of the right-of-ways or impede the bioswales and how they function. Both organizations were incredibly wonderful to work with, and we especially appreciate the people at PBOT for helping us find appropriate locations within the context of the community. They did their best to accommodate our vision of how we wanted the artwork to integrate within the streetscape plans, and their support and teamwork throughout the project helped make the installation of the artwork go very smoothly. Our experience working with RAC was also extremely positive. Peggy Kendallin has been an incredible asset to us as first-time public artists. She was a strong advocate for us throughout the process and gave us a thorough education on the ins and outs of what it takes to make public artwork. And she helped us negotiate working with the city, the residents, and the design team throughout the process. What we learned from RAC will be absolutely invaluable to our long-term goals as artists. So we really want to thank them for this incredible experience. Our sculptures have now been in place for a mere 4 months, but we've gotten a lot of outpouring of support, and people seem to really have a lot of positive feelings about it. So in that time, we've been contacted by numerous individuals who wanted to let us know how much they appreciate the work. And they've also shown it in many small ways, as Portland does. They have knitted scarves and put hats and given them presents. And so we have to say how much we've loved that. It's been really gratifying to us as artists to know our work has brought so much enjoyment for the community that it's been made for. So thank you.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
Thanks, Crystal. Thank you. We're especially proud during this big anniversary-filled year that RAC's longstanding public art program is considered a model nationally. And we celebrate and thank all of the artists, fabricators, volunteer panelists, city employees, and of course our staff, all of whom are vital to the program's ongoing success.
Moving on to one of my favorite topics, arts and education. We have a special treat for you. I'd like to introduce a teaching artist from the Right Brain Initiative, Aaron Nigel Smith, and young artists from King's School's fourth grade who are here to perform for you.
This little one class?
Two classes. So these are students from King Elementary School. I've had the great pleasure of working with them in the Right Brain Initiative program. We did a 10-week session last term, but this term we're doing a 4-week session in which we're focusing on the civil rights movement. And I've had the great pleasure for the past two sessions of working with them specifically on freedom-fighting songs. That we taught them the song, Oh Freedom. And they have, in fact, we talked about the lyrics of it and the implications of the how they used the song and the context in which the song was sung historically. And they even had the opportunity to come up with some of their own lyrics to include in the song to bring it more relevance to their day and their time. We were also actually, it was kind of an interesting scenario where this obviously is not the type of space where we'd want to have, you know, 40 kids, you know, performing. We were thinking about only bringing 10 kids to this event, but that proposed a dilemma for us, and actually with the curriculum, we were able to look at it and say, hey, is it really fair to only pick 10? Let's see if there's a way to make it work for everyone and kind of be examples of the lesson that we're trying to teach. So it was really cool that we did manage to get all the kids here, and I'm really excited to share with you Oh Freedom. You guys ready? All right. Now, with the Right Brain, we focus, at least with my work with Right Brain, I focused a lot on the process. I think it's really important for kids to have exposure to the arts and to have the opportunity to be exposed and to make the curriculum connections with math and science and literature with the arts. And we work really hard on making those connections with the homeroom teachers. And it's really not necessarily about performing. In fact, this is the only performance I think we've done, actually, as long since I've been in Right Brain. We usually do something, a culminating event to share with other classrooms. So it's really cool to bring them out and show them another aspect of art, which is performing art. All right, you guys ready?
Yeah.
All right, let's do it. 1, 2, 3, and.
Oh, freedom. Oh, freedom. Oh, freedom. Oh, liberty. And before I be a slave, I'll be buried in my grave.
See why we're so excited that learning like this is happening across the Tri-County region in 7 school districts. Currently, 18 Portland schools are partnering with the Right Brain Initiative, more schools than any other district. The Right Brain Initiative is designed as a shared delivery model that includes classroom teachers responsible for student learning in subjects like math, science, social studies, and language arts. Certified arts specialists who provide sequential learning in an arts discipline, and community-based teaching artists, professionals working in dance, music, theater, visual, and media arts. These essential partners are at the heart of the Right Brain Initiative, who work together to weave the arts throughout the curriculum and to help ensure that the arts are part of every child's education. We have many outside partners as well. Two notable ones I'd like to highlight are Portland State University as our new assessment partner and Young Audiences as our implementation partner. Evidence of our success abounds. Last fall, we were especially pleased to release a report that indicates partnering with the Right Brain Initiative fuels student learning. Before schools joined the initiative, the average annual increase in student reading scores was 2 points. After just 1 year with Right Brain, test scores at these schools began to climb at a greater than average rate and continued to increase as schools became more engaged with the program. A similar pattern occurred in math scores, providing a strong correlation between Right Brain and increases in student achievement. Most significant, though, are the gains reported for English language learners, whose English language proficiency scores increased 10 to nearly 20 times as their schools joined and deepened their involvement with Right Brain. This evidence certainly demonstrates the power of the arts to provide new paths into learning. As part of our responsibilities for the Arts Education and Access Fund, RAC works with the city's school districts to ensure high-quality arts education by supporting certified art and music teachers. In addition, we oversee coordination between school districts and arts organizations to bring the arts to all Portland students. Last week, a Portland Public Schools Student Arts Showcase celebrated the work of these specialists with a visual and performing arts extravaganza at the Newmark Theater. It was truly a special evening, and thank you, Commissioner Fish, for being there. PPS has brought some of those amazing drawings and paintings here to City Hall as well, on display on the first floor through March 6th. We know this is making a difference for all students, and none of it would have happened without your support.
About 5 years ago, RAC board and staff made a very serious commitment to focusing on equity and inclusion to remove any barriers to full participation in our programming, grants, and offerings. We believe arts and culture should be accessible to every person living and visiting here. As you can see from our grant-making efforts, arts education programming, workshops, and public art activities, we look at everything we do through an equity lens. We have intentionally brought new voices and points of view to our board, staff, volunteers, and communications, and are forging many and diverse new relationships while strengthening existing ones across our city. We've also been encouraging the arts organizations and artists that we support to work on broadening their own reach by providing them real-life examples of ways to engage effectively. We have offered workshops with equity professionals, and at the request of the arts community, commissioned a how-to approach with ideas around building diverse audiences. We're trying to make this work as doable as possible by breaking it into bite-sized pieces or building blocks, as shown here. Many have embraced this work, and all are asked to report to us on progress each year as an important aspect of grant reporting to RAC. And now I'd like to ask Jan to read our brand new equity statement, which has been developed with much input from the RAC board and staff.
We believe that the arts have the power to change hearts and minds and to inspire social change. Prejudice and privilege have created barriers that RAC must dismantle systematically and strategically until everyone in our community has equitable access to arts and culture. We acknowledge that there is no one perfect way to achieve equity, but we are willing to take risks because there is much work to do. We're thoughtfully researching and implementing new methods of thinking within our organizational culture, starting with an in-depth assessment of our services, policies, and procedures. We are seeking out and listening to voices that have not been heard and fully engaging underrepresented populations in dialogues that will help us improve. We are committed to the full scope of this work and will hold ourselves accountable along the way. Anything less would prove a disservice to ourselves and the communities we serve. RAC strives to be an organization that values and celebrates everyone's life experiences, their voices, and their histories. By consistently bringing new perspectives to our decision-making table, forming new relationships and alliances, and finding new ways to support creativity, RAC will be a strong, equitable, and relevant organization. Throughout this process, we commit to humility, optimism, and respect. I am incredibly proud to chair a board that believes so passionately about this work and continuously strives together to the goal of arts access for all people. It's truly an honor to serve with each of them. We have focused this presentation on several aspects of RAC's broad work in our community, but I would like to highlight one other accomplishment, namely our workplace giving program, Work for Art. Over the last 9.5 years, the community has donated more than $6 million to Work for Art, making it possible for RAC to support local artists, arts organizations to an even greater extent. We thank the City of Portland employees, plus the employees of 75 other participating companies who make this campaign possible every year. This fall, Work for Art will celebrate its 10th anniversary campaign, and we hope that you will all be part of it. I want to give a special shout out to Commissioner Fish, who's recently helped us initiate important conversations with Comcast and Daimler about joining this program. Thank you, Commissioner Fish, for being such a proactive advocate on our behalf.
We look forward to working with all of you in the months ahead to make the arts more accessible in the City of Portland. RAC has come so far over the last 20 years, and we know that this progress would not be possible if it weren't for the elected officials who continue to understand the importance of culture and creativity in our community. In closing, I want to say how privileged and pleased RAC is to steward our city's investment in the arts and culture. We see and hear of the fruits of this work every day in all parts of our city, from community centers to concert halls, from schools to city streets, from established galleries to pop-ups. We know many people visit here for the arts. We see them following the public art walking tour and flocking to performances, festivals, and diverse cultural celebrations of all kinds. At the heart of it all, of all of this, are artists, organizations, and arts lovers. And crucial to all of this richness is the financial commitment the city has provided without faltering and the personal value you each place on a thriving arts community. We are here to say collectively thank you, and to pledge that together we will keep the arts strong, vibrant, and thriving moving into the future. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks very much. Any questions for our presenters? I know there are others that want to speak, but
thank you. How much of the money that comes from the city is from the general fund, and how much from the arts tax?
For in general?
Yes.
Well, let's see. We get approximately $4 million from the city, and then we've received so far about $1.5 million has come in so far.
From the arts tax, right?
Yeah. The arts tax will, I won't say never. One day maybe the arts tax will be on par with the city, but it's a very important addition to what we get from the city, because we're using general fund money, about $1 million plus, to give the base of operating support. But that's what we've been doing all along, and these larger organizations especially have been at such a low percentage of public funding. So the goal is to add a layer on top of that, which is the Arts Fund and Work for Art.
And do you have policies about how much the funding goes for performing arts versus visual arts and other?
No.
So it's on a
We're committed to supporting all of the organizations and artists as equitably as we can, but we don't have any kind of quotas or policies.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks. Great presentation. I know we do have some folks that are signed up and want to speak on this report, so let's hear them, please.
Okay, we have about 7 people signed up. The first 3, please come on up, are Dana Lynn Lewis, Kevin Bacon, and Anita Menon.
Good morning and welcome.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Are we speaking in that order?
Yes, please. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm Dana Lynn Lewis. Thank you so much for giving us this opportunity to talk today. I want to say that I'm really thankful to RAC and the city that supports it, because it's truly extraordinary. I have worked not only with RAC, but with other organizations around the country, and it really is different to work with RAC. When you work with RAC, you get support not just when you get a grant, but you get support during the year and the time of your grant, and then they care about you afterward, too. So you really feel like they've got your back. An artist's life is not easy, and it can be a string of events that runs the gamut of experiences from wonderfully fulfilling to unimaginably frustrating. This year has been the former for me. Not all years are like this. However, once you get that support and feel that, as I said, hand on your back, you can fly quickly, and then opportunities seem to accumulate. As Eloise mentioned, I received a project grant this year that contributed greatly to what I was able to manifest in my show Clearing at the Lewis and Clark College. Great opportunity, big space, totally committed curator, Linda Tessner, and Lewis and Clark College. I had so many ideas, and I have hundreds, literally, of sketchbooks in my studio with things that I would do if I was given such an opportunity. However, it's hard to really do those experiences if you don't have the funding to do it. You can have all kinds of ideas, but they never leave your sketchbook if you don't have the funding. Things build. After I received the RAC grant, I received additional funding from the Oregon Arts Commission and the Ford Family Foundation. I think, as somebody else mentioned, when somebody feels like you've got support, they want to jump on board. Linda also received a grant from the Ford Family Foundation to make a book about this show. This book now gives me a really special tool that undoubtedly will help me in my career in the future. As I mentioned, this last year was full. I had a residency at the Oregon State Hospital to work with the patients. They collaborated with me to make the art for the new hospital in Junction City. Telling you about this experience would take up all your time, so I'm not going to go into that right now, but I would love to someday. I just want to say that it really truly was one of the most rewarding experiences that I've had in the public realm. I mention this for two reasons. One, because the work that I did with them also impacted the work that I did for my show Clearing at Lewis and Clark, so much that they are also credited in the book, and in November, the hospital staff brought them on a field trip to the show. There I was able to discuss with them their impact on the show and the positive impact they have had on my life, which when I was walking them back up to the bus when they were leaving, one of them stopped me and said, "Nobody's ever told me I've had a positive impact on their life, let alone impacted their artistic career." As artists, we wonder, does what I make matter? Will people connect with it? Will it communicate beyond my studio? And as funders, I know somehow you really need to document this. Well, there are several ways, most of which are very subtle. And a lot of them are that you just have to have the belief system that art is important, and through history, you just have to trust that it is. But for the record, on this one, I need to tell you that over 2,005 people were clocked in through the door at Lewis and Clark College, and another 2,500 participated in this show, which went virally. Can I have a couple?
Yes,
okay. Which went viral internationally, not to mention the hundreds of patients from OSU, not to all whom were able to come on that field trip. In closing, I need to say that I've been here for 25 years, and I've had amazing experiences in both my studio and public realm, collaborating with other artists, musicians, choreographers, and writers. Portland is on the map in many ways, as it was when I was not first here. And it's not just because Portlandia put it there, not just because we have amazing food choices, and not just because we have an internationally acclaimed city planning department. It's the artists who have impacted all of these things with their tenacious spirits. For the artists who have contributed so much, it is increasingly harder to live and work here. Portland is rich with artists and what they bring, yet the artists are not rich. We need your help to realize our wildest dreams, and we want to be able to stay here in Portland. So when considering your budget, please see that it's not only supporting an artist and perhaps their gallery show, but the larger reverberations of their works that are innumerable in this city. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning. My name is Kevin Bacon, and I'm the principal at Boise Elliott Humboldt School. In my second year there, my 30th year of education altogether. I've been in all quadrants of the city, either as a teacher or a teacher or an administrator. It's my third time being here. I was here a few years ago on behalf of the Vision into Action Arts Grant when under Mayor Tom Potter, the BMA, the Black Male Achievement, just recently with Mayor Hales, and now RBI, Right Brain Initiative, under RAC. So VIA, RBI, MA.
Like there's three-letter acronyms.
Yeah. It's neat to hear RAC read their equity policy, and then also to know that they walk their talk in, you know, their 55 schools. There's been intentionality in how they've selected those schools in regards to bringing those opportunities to students of color. Our school, we, for the last 5 years running, has had the most African-American students than any other school in the state at any level, high school, middle school, or elementary school, and we are a pre-K through 8 school. Boise Elliott Humboldt School is in its third year of transformation into a STEM school in partnership with the Portland Metro STEM Partnership. We're one of only two PPS schools in the metro area that's a part of that partnership. We see our focus on STEM as a way to ignite passion for learning and heighten engagement for students while also preparing them for college and 21st century careers, which we already know that there's projected shortages in those fields of science, technology, engineering, and math. STEM education creates an integrated learning environment that encourages problem solving and persistence, critical thinking, and teamwork across subject areas. While STEM was the initial vision for Boise Elliott Humboldt, our acceptance as a right brain school has allowed us to infuse the arts into our work to become STEAM. Get it? Science, technology, engineering, arts, and math. Tapping into a different way of thinking for students and helping provide a truly integrated approach to learning. While some may see STEAM as a period in our schedule or something you do, we at Boise Elliott Humboldt view STEAM as the driving force for our instruction. By having the arts in STEAM, we are thinking about a thought process for kids and a way to engage students in problem solving and design thinking. This type of instructional change is not an easy task in a school, especially given the numerous challenges we already face. We've been lucky to have Right Brain by our side to support us in this work. Right Brain is more than just the residencies. Our teachers have had the opportunity to attend professional development and learn concrete activities that engage students in new ways. And while the learning strategies can be incorporated by classroom teachers on their own, it is the teaching artists that are really able to support learning in a new way. We are currently in our first year of residency, and in the middle of that planning process, 30 more seconds, that planning process, we have found that it is a complement to the partner work we have previously done with science educators in many ways. In our 3 years of transitioning from just a school into a STEM and then STEAM school, we have carefully developed a system for utilizing community partners to support our learning. Community partners are carefully selected, making sure that they're the best possible match for both students in the content area. Teachers also meet with these professionals before they come into the classroom to construct a program that really aligns with our standards, is culturally relevant, and is unique to our students' needs as learners. I just so happened had a conversation with the director of STEM for Southwest Washington, and what he talks about is that what employers are looking for ultimately are employees that can collaborate and that can learn how to learn. And when you bring the arts and not just the ability to the thinking that goes along with that our school, the initiative around STEM, we feel like that's really coming together nicely, and we wouldn't be able to do that without the Right Brain Initiative and the support of RAC. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Anita Menon, and I'm the artistic director of the Anjali School of Dance and the co-founder of MyTream, a small nonprofit arts organization. I founded the dance school in 1996 to impart the 2,000-year-old dance form from India called Bharatanatyam. My passion has been in adapting the art form for the next generation of dancers through innovation and experimentation with contemporary choreographic works. Over the past few years, I've received several grants and the Performing Arts Fellowship Award from RAC. Besides encouraging my own artistic journey, the grants have tremendously benefited the community in the following ways. By hiring only local artists, technicians, and crew, I've ensured that the dollars have remained in our own community. By bringing together over 10 different dance schools to perform together, I've encouraged collaboration, especially among children who form the next generation of performers. By teaching classical and folk dances from India to children all over Portland, I've preserved the cultural legacy of the Indian American community. The productions that have been supported by RAC have given me the visibility to collaborate with other artists and organizations here in Portland. As a recent example, I co-directed a brand new adaptation of Kipling's The Jungle Book using Indian dance, music, and theater at Northwest Children's Theater. Through this production, we have not only been able to give 8,000 audience members and over 5,000 school children a taste of several different styles of Indian dance and music, but we have also been able to reach 600 underprivileged families as well as 250 people through our sensory-friendly performance by providing them free tickets. Blazing new trails in an art form that is rooted in so much culture, history, and tradition is no easy task. But RAC's grants have given me and my nonprofit organization the encouragement, strength, and power to keep forging ahead, to continue to collaborate, innovate, and adapt Indian dance for the next generation of dancers, all of which would not have been possible without the support from RAC and from the City of Portland. So thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you all. Thanks very much.
The next three are Andrew Proctor, Bella Trent, and Joe Walsh.
Come on up.
Well, we're getting mic'd up. Maybe I'll start. I'm Andrew Proctor. I'm the Director of Literary Arts. Thank you very much for having us here. Thank you, Nick. Thank you, Mayor Hales. And thanks to RAC and Eloise for all that they do. Literary Arts is a nationally recognized nonprofit literary center here based in downtown Portland. It's an intergenerational audience that we have, and we're really grateful beneficiaries of RAC general operating support. And that allows us to have a lot of flexibility in terms of who and how we serve the community and allows us to be really adaptable. So we're really grateful for that kind of support. Literary Arts runs Portland Arts and Lectures, the largest literary lecture series of its kind in the nation. It also broadcasts that series once a week at 9 p.m. on OPB, so we have our own NPR show this year. We run the Oregon Book Awards and Fellowships Program, which has supported writers for 27 years here in the state of Oregon. We have given away over $750,000 for the production of new work here in the state. We funded every writer you've ever heard of, probably, in the state of Oregon at one time or another in our long history. Today, I want to talk a little bit about the Writers in Schools program, which has served 42,000 students since 1996 and has invested about $2.8 million in the public school system through our program. Primarily, the school this year, the program serves 11 high schools. It serves them serves 1,000 students with semester-long residencies. These are long and deep residencies where students see writers over and over and over again and really develop and revise their work. It's tied to core curriculum and to the Common Core standards directly and with the high school teachers. This year, I'm delighted to say that we piloted the program in East County at the Gresham High School, and we'll continue to develop a relationship in other schools in East County as we go forward. Every year, we also bring those students to the concert hall to make sure that students across the county know that the concert hall is there for them and it's part of their city and it's part of their cultural participation. 1,400 students last year came to the concert hall, not in sequestered student events, but with the rest of the community in events throughout the year, and also with the Multnomah County Library's Everybody Reads program. We're lucky enough to be able to host that event every single year. Last year, Justice Sonia Sotomayor was here, and there were well over 1,000 students from all over Multnomah County at that event. I just want to say that the program serves a community as diverse as our student body is right now. We also host the All City High School Slam Championships. That's why Bella Trent is here today with us. The High School Slam Championships, 10 schools participated in it, and they from all over the city, and they each choose two students who participate in a slam poetry competition. If you ever thought poetry was dead or that young people didn't care about it, I would challenge you to come to the All City Slam Championships. 500 people are there. Most of them are students. Most of them are in high school, and they basically stand and cheer for 2.5 hours. It's alive and well and vital and being made right here in our city by some extremely talented and amazing young people. But I'm delighted to introduce Bella Trent. She's a senior at Madison High School. She beat out every single student in the city and is the All-City High School Slam Poetry Champion for 2014. So help me welcome her.
Before I start the piece, you should probably know when you are in a slam, you have to have two poems, first round and second round. So this poem is called A Poem About Picking a Poem for Verslandia. I have read through every poem I've ever written, twice, and I keep coming up empty-handed, See, choosing poems is a tricky business because you can't have two poems about love or two poems about being disabled. And so I have decided to surpass the constraints of genre and write a poem about my whole non-compartmentalized self. My name is Isabella Marie Trent. I am 4'11", according to my doctor, but 5'3", if you ask my grandpa. I used to be smaller, but now I'm bigger, and I'm still trying to figure out how that happened. I was born with an unpronounceable condition and the capacity to love beyond reason. I am still trying to figure out which is worse. I almost died on October 17th, 2012. I used to think the world was worse with me in it. Then I thought it was better, but now I'm convinced she just likes to keep spinning. I believe God lies in comfortable silences, and I believe in love in that Dempsey mow on your lawn kind of way. I was a vegetarian for a year. I had my first surgery at 8 months, fell in love first at 12. My favorite animals are pandas, and I think stars are the peepholes into heaven. I write simple songs with 4/4 with C major as the key. I am afraid of ghosts and love waffles. I was born to a passionate mother who loves ferociously and adopted by a man who wishes we'd forget he does too. I can make pancakes if you put the spatula in my mouth, and when I love someone, I never stop. Yes, I am talking to you, golden-eyed friend, with my secrets in a shoebox, and you, music-throated man in North Carolina who packed my heart in your suitcase. And there are nights like tonight, when tonight becomes tomorrow, and I am still writing poetry, where I wish that I was something other than my whole non-compartmentalized self. But here I will lie with an ink-stained heart and a cramping wrist, for I am the poet, sitting upon a stage and giving up her soul, and I have never felt more alive. Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Joe Walsh. I represent Individuals for Justice, and we would just like to take a moment to once again congratulate you. This is something you should be very proud of. I hope that you find another cookie jar with more money in it. We have absolutely no hesitation of you spending any amount of money that the five of you decide. We will support you. We will fight against the criticism of anybody that criticizes you for this issue, because this is a very human issue. This makes us human. The arts are a pathway to the soul, and it makes us human. And the more that we publicize it, the more children that are exposed to it, the better we are. And we need more of the arts, because the rest of us, the political section, have a long way to go yet before we are fully human. The arts have made it. They are human, and we should look to them to understand that it is possible for all of us on this small little planet in this small little solar system to get along. And we should try harder. And the arts teaches us that. So as much as I'm an activist and I will fight with you probably this afternoon, I once again congratulate you, and I know that this is 2 weeks in a row that I've done this, so I know my reputation is going to be destroyed, but the arts are worth it. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all.
The last person who signed up is Charles Johnson.
Charles, come on up.
Good morning, Commissioners. For the record, my name is Charles Johnson, and we didn't have as much fabulous headgear, I think, as at last year's State of the Arts presentation, but we had opera, so I'm quite satisfied with the public investment in the arts. However, I think many people in the arts community would want to say that it's too bad. They would want to hear a line from probably a famous feminist: "It will be a great day when the Air Force has to hold a bake sale, or when the military-industrial complex has to come begging and parading children through City Hall to get money for great stuff like this." And the reason I mention that is because we are never having honest conversations about how much of our money is going into military-industrial complex and prison-industrial complex. So I hope that in our presentations about the arts, we will always look to do things like make sure that our funding of the arts grows just as fast and just as much as our funding of the Portland Police Bureau and of the Multnomah County Jail. Actually, much faster would be much better. And I encourage you to think of also, especially with the new great equity statement from RAC, that art spending is public safety spending. When people are involved in a vibrant arts community, they're less likely to get distracted by the things that may or may not validly get called criminal behavior. So I hope that when we come back next year, we'll be able to say that arts funding and arts projects were the fastest growing part of the city budget and economic activity in the Portland metro area. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you all very much. So I think a motion's in order, Commissioner Fish.
So moved.
Second.
Further discussion? Then a roll call on accepting this report.
Fritz?
I'd like to propose a new slogan for RAC, and that is jobs and joy. Because that's what the arts funding actually does. It funds both starving artists, and thank you to everybody who was here today. This was a very moving occasion. Particularly appreciate Dana and your work at the Oregon State Hospital. And the slam poetry was absolutely beautiful. Thank you. But this is why the taxpayers of Portland invest money in the arts, because it is part of who we are, and it does provide jobs and joy. So thank you. Aye.
Fish?
Mayor and colleagues, a couple weeks ago, I was with a delegation in Houston, and Charlie was joined by your wife, and a cross-section of Portland went on a trip. And Houston's an interesting place. The state motto is, we are a low-tax, low-service community. And Houston has no zoning code. The car is king. There's sprawl. It's 400-something miles, square miles of city that goes on endlessly. They have two beltways, and they're about to build a third. And it was about as different from Portland as any place I've ever visited, with one exception. The people of Houston have invested heavily in the arts. And I discovered a museum district with 20 world-class art museums. And I discovered a sculpture garden designed by Isamu Noguchi, which is one of the great sculpture gardens in the world. And everywhere I went, there was public art and celebration of art and culture. So while Houston could not be more different than Portland in many of the ways that we define livability, it turns out that they understand exactly what we understand, that the soul of a great city lies with arts and culture. And so today, I have a very heavy heart filled with joy and love and pride in this community. First, I want to thank the mayor for asking me to be the commissioner liaison in charge of arts. That is a weighty responsibility, and I follow in the footsteps of our friend Mike Lindbergh and Sam Adams and so many others who said we could do better and do more. And it's an honor to partner with RAC and this community. I am especially grateful to live in a city where the people have spoken so clearly that they value art and culture. Over 60% of the voters supported the art tax. And when you travel around this city and you meet the young people who are moving here, what you hear invariably is art and culture is at the heart of why they chose to be in this great city. So I'm grateful for that. In fact, I'm so grateful, Mayor, that I went online yesterday, and I want to do a shout out to Thomas Lanham, because Thomas keeps making it easier for me to pay my arts tax. And yesterday, I paid my arts tax proudly. And I encourage all other taxpayers of Portland to get it in before April 15. But Thomas, you have made it just about as easy as possible, although I'm sure there's still future modifications, but I was proud to pay that tax. I'm proud to be one of many in this building that is a participant in Work for Art,